KAXE.org. John Henningsgaard's hosting On the River tonight at 7. Kevin Sinnell at 1. Now the World Cafe.
Coming up, it's the World Cafe. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. Telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Find playlists, podcasts, and more at KAXE.org.
If you are or have ever been in a romantic relationship, you know that there are usually things you keep to yourselves, things you go through that you might not talk about with anyone else. Those are exactly what Busca Buya explore on their new album. Busca Buya's members, Luis and Raquel, are married. When Raquel came up with the idea, Luis was a little hesitant, but then he remembered.
You know, all the artists that I like and that we admire, I think do that. You know, they're honest and they're vulnerable and they explore that sort of shadow.
The new album is called Se Amaba Así. And coming up, Luis and Raquel talk about going deep on their relationship to write the songs and about the inspiration they took from old Latin American love songs.
I feel that people want some kind of romance, or they still feel moved by that. I think that there's an honest longing for it because we really don't have that anymore.
Busca Buya today. I'm Raina Duras. This is World Cafe.
For KAXE News, I'm Larissa Donovan with the Up North Report. The following story contains details that may be upsetting to some listeners. A former teacher at two Iron Range schools faces three felony counts of first-degree criminal sexual conduct for allegedly assaulting an adolescent female relative. Megan Buffington has the story.
43-year-old Ryan Ross Denzer Johnson of Embarrass was charged in St. Louis County on Monday. He's been a math teacher at Mesabi East since 2023 and resigned August 10th, according to the district. He also previously taught at Northeast Range and worked with robotics teams at both schools. According to court filings, Denzer Johnson sexually assaulted the girl at least three times over a 16-month period beginning in 2023. Law enforcement spoke with the victim on August 12th. Court filings say Denzer Johnson admitted to the crimes to law enforcement. Assistant St. Louis County Attorney Amber Peterson wrote in a filing that Denzer Johnson was aware for some time that he, quote, was prone to sexually assault minor females, but he still taught and worked in youth ministry and on a church advisory board. Each count carries a maximum sentence of 30 years, a $40,000 fine, or both. Denzer Johnson makes his next court appearance Monday. Megan Buffington, KAXE News.
The Minnesota Court of Appeals has reversed the felony conviction of a Colorado woman for her role in a 2021 protest of Enbridge's Line 3 in Aitkin County. Chelsea Perkins explains the court's reasons for ordering a new trial.
The appeals court issued its ruling on Monday, nearly 2 years after a jury convicted Malene Villard of obstruction of justice. The charge was related to her role in a 2021 protest at Enbridge's Swatara pumping station. 56-year-old Villard was one of two people who attached themselves to a self-supporting bamboo structure in the driveway. The court opined that Villard failed to receive a fair trial because of, quote, a pattern of unusually serious misconduct by Garrett Sliva, former assistant Aitkin County attorney. The appeals court remanded the case back to the district court for a new trial. The attorney general's office, which represented the state in the appeal, conceded to five of the more than 20 instances of misconduct alleged. This included several statements that could have led the jury to be prejudiced against Villard. The court noted she has a French accent and came from Boulder, Colorado. Villard came to support the efforts of indigenous people to protect water from the potential impacts of an oil pipeline. Attorney Claire Glenn is a trial lawyer who works with the Climate Defense Project. She defended Villard during the trial and the appeal.
I think this whole judicial system is supposed to be about accountability, but that often does not extend to prosecutors themselves.
The Aitkin County Attorney's Office did not return a request for comment. This is the second Aitkin County case against a Line 3 protester reversed by the state appeals court this year. Chelsea Perkins, KAXE News.
Attorney General Keith Ellison is suing TikTok for violating Minnesota's consumer protection laws. Ellison filed the lawsuit Tuesday in Hennepin County District Court. A news release says he will prove that TikTok has prioritized profit over well-being and engaged in deceptive and unfair business practices.
Ellison's office points to the social media company's, quote, addictive algorithm and other predatory features that it says are designed to take young users' time, attention, data, and money without their knowledge. Ellison also accuses TikTok of lying about the safety of the app, downplaying risks, and financially and sexually exploiting children with its illegal virtual currency. He alleges various harms because of these practices, including to youth mental and physical health and self-image. Ellison is asking the court to make the company change how it operates, in addition to seeking penalties and other monetary relief. International Falls is asking for community input as it plans the future of Smokey Bear Park. The park was home to the city's historic band shell, which burned in April 2024. The city says it is considering three options: recreating the band shell, building a new multi-use structure, or leaving the park as a green space. An open house in the city council chambers is set for Monday. The city is also accepting answers to a related questionnaire until September 2nd. That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Larissa Donovan, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report is made possible by Woodland Bank, serving the area since 1920 with locations in Grand Rapids, Cohasset, Hill City, and Deer River. Woodland Bank believes in building community and serving local nonprofits like KAXE.
This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. Imagine for a moment that you're in a long-term relationship, something like a marriage, and your partner approaches you one day and says, "Hey, you know all of our fights and our disagreements and our doubts and hardships we've endured together? Do you want to share them with the whole world?" You might be a little trepidatious about that, just like Busca Buya's Luis Del Valle was when his bandmate and wife, Raquel Berrios, suggested they do precisely that for their latest album, Se Amaba Así. It's a vulnerable exploration of their partnership. And coming up, we'll talk about how writing about difficult moments brought them closer together. We'll also talk about moving back to Puerto Rico from New York City after Hurricane Maria to start a family, and about their 2022 breakthrough moment when superstar Bad Bunny reached out to collaborate with them on one of his songs. That's all coming up. But first, Busca Buya perform a song from Se Amaba Así. This is El Camino, live for the World Cafe.
Bye.
Performing live for the World Cafe, Busca Bulla with El Camino. Busca Bulla are Luis Del Valle and Raquel Berrios. Their new album is called Se Amabe Así. Luis and Raquel are my guests today. Welcome to the World Cafe.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, I'm so happy to have you here. I guess the best place to start maybe would be to explain the concept behind this album, because there is a sort of a theme that runs through the whole thing.
Yeah. I think that we wanted to make a romantic record. We've never really made one. We also feel that romance is sort of dead nowadays. And also, so we decided to kind of take inspiration in ourselves. I mean, we have been a band and a couple. We have an 11-year-old, and we kind of were going through a difficult time in our relationship, and we decided to write about it, which is kind of crazy because I remember telling Luis the concept, and he was like, no way.
No, I don't want to do that. Why are you making me do that? No, but it ended up being cool. Like, I think I was a little hesitant at first, I think, because we never really have talked about ourselves in the music. It's always been sort of either an introspective thing or exterior sort of subject matter. But obviously getting down and dirty and intimate is, like, intimidating. But, you know, all the artists that I like and that we admire, I think, do that. You know, they're honest and they're vulnerable and they explore that sort of shadow, you know, which is cool to go through and see what comes out at the other end.
So, Raquel, how did you eventually convince Luis that you should do it?
It was very hard. I had already sort of started writing my songs, and I mean, organically. I mean, this is what I was feeling, this is what I was going through. And I said, I feel that you should write and sing on this record mm-hmm. so that you can sing songs from your side of the story. I mean, I think that it'd be cool. And there was a lot of hesitation, but eventually when he started writing songs, they were really good. Yeah. And I was like really surprised. And I think maybe that's what helped you kind of convince you.
No, I'm still not convinced entirely, to be honest. I think, you know, what convinced me was the music, you know? She would come up with ideas, and usually she'll come up with like a seed of an idea, you know, and show it to me and we can develop it together, you know? And there was enough of those, and they were strong, you know? They had some weight, and there were some really good songs she just wrote all by herself, and it was, you know, like kind of undeniable, like, oh, this is going to have to be what it is. You know what I mean? Like, so it was just, I sort of followed the weight of the music, you know?
I'm talking to Busca Bulla on World Cafe. We're going to hear you perform another song. And Luis, this is one that you sing, and you sing on the album for the first time. There's two songs. The one that we're going to hear is called El Empuje. Could you talk a little bit about this song and tell us what you're singing about here?
Sure, yeah. So El Empuje is like this sort of colloquial phrase in Puerto Rico where it means sort of like the pressure, you know, like to hold under pressure, I guess, right? And I think the person in this song is realizing that they're able to withstand this sort of pressure. It's a little too much. And it came from this conversation, you know, we had and sort of this fight. And she was like, well, you know, well, if you can't handle it, you know, then what are you going to do? You know, and it sort of inspired me to be like, well, you know, I guess that's an interesting proposition in a relationship. You know, it's sort of like it is love. It is like all these positive things, but there is a lot of work to it, and there's a lot of there can be some pressure, you know, and some can handle it, some is handleable, and some is not, you know.
Well, let's hear it, and we'll come back and we'll talk some more. This is El Empuje from Busca Bulla on World Cafe.
Solo son palabras que flotan en el aire, llegan hasta mí. Sin quererla oír, con toda tu ira y toda tu herida, y ganas de sufrir y hacerme a mí sufrir. Dime si tú sabes si esto va a seguir así. No puedo, dime si tú sabes que me muero por tu amor. Aguanta el empuje, aguanta que duro vivir. placer, dame sufrir. Dime si tú sabes si esto va a seguir así. No puedo, dime si tú sabes que me muero por tu amor. Aguantar tú ves, aguantar que tú lo vives. Deprime, pedir al
Busca Buya performing a song from their new album, Se Amaba Así, called El Empuje. I'm Reina Duras on World Cafe, joined by Raquel and Luis of Busca Buya. This album is about yourselves. It's about your relationships. Luis, I know that you watched a bunch of Lindsey Buckingham interviews to wrap your head around this project. What did you get out of that? Talk about that a bit for me.
I watched a lot of Lindsey Buckingham videos because, I mean, I've always loved Fleetwood Mac and I've always admired Lindsey Buckingham and what he did on that record, but I really, on Rumors and Tusk, but I really wanted to get in there. I wanted to see what his experience was like because it was similar in a way to what we had been going through. I mean, Lindsey Buckingham, I don't know if you know, but he was sort of invited into Fleetwood Mac because of his guitar prowess. He was a producer and all that stuff. And he was like, well, look, if you're going to hire me, you're also going to hire my girl. And she sings and writes songs and she's amazing. And she gave Fleetwood Mac their like first number one in years. So Lindsey had to sort of navigate a situation where essentially, you know, Stevie became this household name and he was sort of in the background as a producer, and they were breaking up the whole time and they were having this really intense sort of relationship dynamic, which they would live out on stage every night and, you know, and sort of they'll sing and at each other and they sound like they're having an argument on stage, but it's powerful, you know, and I felt like it was important to harness that, you know,
yeah.
To sort of, I guess, Do a Buckingham in here, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, as romantic and creative partners, you kind of have to walk this line sometimes. And I am curious about how you set boundaries between, and maybe you don't, but between like your creative work and your, you know, when you're at home, when you're just together with your family.
Yeah. I think that, honestly, all that we've ever said is that it's just been really hard.
Yeah.
I mean, you try to, but there's going to be seasons where, I mean, first of all, being a musician is right now, independent musician, like, it's a lot of hard work. You know what I mean? It can really consume you. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's also sort of our livelihood. We have a daughter. I mean, there's just so many things. And honestly, sometimes it has been hard. And it's hard to say where are the boundaries. I guess sometimes we did it better and sometimes we didn't. But it's a hard thing. Sorry, anybody who's ever been in a band with their boyfriend, with their girlfriend, I mean, it's just been hard. And I guess we have a lot of songs written about that throughout history. And I guess in this case, it's like, well, I guess this is sort of the Latin alternative version of that in this day and age. You know, this is like this is what we bring to the table. And what we ended up doing is that we just sort of integrated more of sort of the sort of the Latin sounds and the whole like sort of catalog of romantic songs of Latin America in trying to sort of portray this sort of more modern relationship of, you know, of work and love and also parenthood, you know. And that's kind of what we did. But when people ask us about boundaries, it's like, well, you know what? It was very hard to set them. And I can't say that it's like we had it figured out. I mean, it's very difficult. And I think for anybody that has been in a band with their boyfriend or girlfriend, I think it would be a lie to say that it has been easy. because it isn't.
You're listening to A Session with Buska Buya. Coming up, Raquel will talk about how her late father's record collection inspired the band's latest album. That's next on World Cafe. Welcome back to World Cafe. I'm Reina Duras, talking to Buska Buya's Raquel Berrios and Luis Del Valle about their new album, Se Amaba Así. I do want to talk about some of the other important people who influenced this album, like your father, Raquel, who had a great collection of records.
Yeah.
And I know that that was part of what inspired this. What are some of your memories of music your dad would play around the house when you were young?
Yeah. Oh man, my dad was just a crazy music fan, record collector. When I was young, he'd played me a lot of like LPs, and my dad had a very big collection, like salsa, calypso, trio music, rock, Dylan, just like a lot of music, jazz. I mean, it was honestly, I mean, clearly the Beatles and, you know, Rolling Stones, but he had a very wide net of music that he loved in general. He played guitar and played cuatro, like a traditional guitar from Puerto Rico. And yeah, I think that when he passed away, I had both of these feelings where I felt that I started observing a little bit about how his love life had been, my mom and his family and the choices that he had made. And then I was also looking at all the music that he sort of left me. It was sort of a both things really influenced me. And I think that's what sort of triggered wanting to make this album about sort of bringing stuff from the past and sort of how much of the way people loved we still have nowadays, how much of that we have to reject, you know, how much do we take with us? So yeah, my dad was a big influence. And I think his death also made me really reflect on you know, how short life is and how we have to really kind of live it to the fullest, love to the maximum, and like, and just be a better person. You know what I mean? Like, really work on yourself and just to be a better person, to be able to love better.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned the big romantic songs. And I think earlier in this interview, you said how romance is dead. and these big romantic songs were really something that resonated with you. Why do you think they were so powerful to you?
I think there's a longing for the way that people used to love and love each other. And I mean, maybe some people will call it sort of like martyrdom. Did I say that correctly?
Yeah, right. Martyrdom.
You got it.
But there was something really beautiful about somebody really giving themselves to love and making sacrifices. It feels like now everybody's very individualistic, and some people choose to sort of just be single and sort of have love in their lives. And I guess there's a sadness to that. I guess I'm trying to understand that. At the same time, some of those songs also seem really sappy and very, you know, outdated and kind of funny and ridiculous, you know, but there's still both an admiration and also like kind of like a funny thing about these love songs. But I still wanted to integrate some of that. I feel that people want some kind of romance, or they still feel moved by that. And I don't think that there's an honest longing for it, because we really don't have that anymore.
Yeah. Could you maybe choose a song or an artist from your father's record collection that really gets that like melodramatic romance idea across? We could play a clip of.
I mean, what do you say would be good from his collection? There's a lot of beautiful trio music. Maybe one from Paquitín could be good. Actually, that's really good. We actually sampled that one. Se Vende Un Corazón by Paquitín Soto. I could write it down for you. It's sort of talking about how his heart is on sale, but he's only going to sell it to the person that will give him, like, true love.
Se vende un corazón, no arriendo ni lo alquilo, porque la que me lo compre debe casarse conmigo. Ay, se vende un corazón.
And it's about, like, how important it was to marry back then and how he really wanted true love, because it seemed that at the moment also a lot of people married because of convenience or because of self-interest, and he was like, I want real love. And I thought that was really cute.
Yo lo vendo por cariño, cariño, que necesito. Quien me compre el corazón, quien me compre el corazón, debe casarse conmigo.
I'm talking to Buscabuya on World Cafe. In the title track of your new album, Se Amaba Así, you sing about your father and your mother's relationship. It isn't necessarily a happy song.
Yeah.
It's an honest song.
Yeah.
Why did you want to make that the title track?
Yeah. I think the title really worked with the rest of the record. Se Amaba Así is both sort of... Se Amaba Así is in the past. It's like the way that they loved. So there's something interesting about playing with the past and the present and the future. I mean, we're sort of referencing a lot of old songs in the record. We're sort of fusing the old with the new. And I think it's interesting because it's kind of like once the record is made, like that's the way that Luis and I loved each other, or maybe that's the way that my parents loved each other. I think that there's a lot that you can get out of the title. Because it's sort of open-ended. It also sounds like the name of a Spanish soap opera. Se Amaba Así. Yeah, I also feel that it's a central song. I think that the song really focuses on how you look at the past, how you learn to love, and how the whole idea is for you to sort of recognize the patterns that no longer work for you and how you really need to change to become a better lover, you know?
Yeah. I'm going to play a bit of it right now so we can hear it.
Está papá viendo TV, mamá está viendo magazine. Pasaba el tiempo y observé, no había nada que decir. Él era piedra y ya papel, siempre de espalda o de perfil. Un día cansado ya se fue. Y él se quedó sentado ahí. Y yo no sé por qué nunca lloré. Si así lo vi, me acostumbré. Pensaba que se amaba así, se amaba así. Años después ahí me vi y sin querer lo repetí. No sé. Solo lo que aprendí. Y yo no sé por qué nunca lloré. Si así lo vi, me acostumbré. Pensaba que se amaba así, se amaba así.
From Buscabuya. You can hear your daughter in the outro to that song. She improvises the vocals there. And I thought that was an interesting decision to have her
voice on this song where you start out singing about your parents and you kind of bring the generations together there. Why did you want her on that one?
I think it's sort of the cycles. I mean, what they say now, and there's a lot of sort of focus, especially on like new age Instagram and TikTok about sort of transgenerational trauma and the sort of the bad things we learn about our parents. And if we don't heal them, they can carry on to our children. And I guess I wanted to include her in the song because in a way there is sort of, I don't know exactly. I think her presence is important to kind of remind ourselves that she is that person that we're sort of handing off this way that we love. Yeah. And in a way, I think I put her there as sort of maybe as a witness to kind of like, I don't know how we want, how I wanted to make it better. You know, in this song, I'm recognizing something. Sometimes recognizing our bad patterns, our shadows is really hard. And in recognizing that, those are the people that can really transcend and evolve. And I guess I really wish that for myself and for our family and for her, you know. I want her to have a happy life, you know. So I guess I wanted to include her in that because of that.
I'm talking to Busca Buya on World Cafe. You were both born and raised in Puerto Rico, and then you met in Brooklyn and then returned to Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria to help rebuild. What was it like returning to Puerto Rico after living in Brooklyn for several years?
It was, we were really happy. I mean, our daughter was about four, and we really wanted her to grow up there, like speak the language, be close to my dad, be close to Luis's mom. So I was happy. But then clearly when you've been out of, you know, living outside of Puerto Rico for a while, you'd start sort of idolizing it. I mean, clearly you only think about the beaches and the nice times, but returning after Hurricane Maria was rough. I mean, the country was still sort of running, you know, very haphazardly. I mean, everything was still crooked and it took some time and it was sort of shocking to be back. And it was like, oh my God, wait. So it was both bittersweet. And I think that's a lot of what we wrote about on our first record, how there was a bittersweetness and excitement to be back, but there was also a lot of a confrontation of feelings about like, oh, I see this place is very imperfect, but it was our home, you know? And in a way, the record sort of spoke about how we also had to kind of accept our flaws, but understand that it's ourselves, you know, and that's the same way that I felt about Puerto Rico, you know, like it's a very chaotic place, you know, there's clearly a lot of issues, political issues, corruption, a lot of issues with sort of just like the way that the electrical grid happens. It's not an easy place. It's getting gentrified. It's harder for locals to stay. We have the lowest birth rate. You know, it's not an easy place, and it's still the place where we want to stay and make music and bring up our daughter, you know. So it wasn't easy, but it's still the place we want to be. It's been 8 years and counting, and like I wouldn't be anywhere else.
Yeah. That album in 2020, Regresa, you released that also. There was another catastrophe happened not too long after you moved, and that was the pandemic. And then there was a moment after releasing that where you weren't sure if you were going to keep pursuing this music career. Where were you, and what turned things around?
Well, yeah, I mean, at some point, you know, we released this record in May of 2020. We had a whole tour planned throughout the United States and Europe, and that all got canceled. So we sort of just turned into producer, you know, remixers for like a year. And after a while, it just seemed apparent. It's like, I don't know if the world's ever going to go back to normal. We might just have to find another... you know, route to, you know, make a living. And it was, around Easter Sunday. And we got a call or a DM in the Instagram from Bad Bunny's producer. And, on Easter Sunday, so yeah, he was saying, look, I have this track. It'd be perfect for you guys. You want to hear it, you know? And, before we knew it, we were on FaceTime with Bad Bunny himself while we were in pajamas, and he was all dressed up like a rock star in the studio, and It's like, yeah, I want you to write the chorus. I've got an idea, but you write the chorus and then produce the end of it, make it 12 minutes if you want. And he just gave us all this freedom to do whatever we wanted on this really cool track that he sort of built in the flavor of Busca Bulla, you know, which was very, very
and little funny. Did we know that it would end up being like the Latin Thriller of Spotify.
Yeah, the record itself was such a massive,
it's a record-breaking record.
And
then I guess that turned everything around. I mean,
That told us, I guess keep making music.
Yeah,
you know? Here's Andrea from Bad Bunny featuring Busca Bulla on World Cafe. Well, that track, you know, when I checked it just before we came in here, has like almost a billion streams if you add it up on YouTube and like Apple Music and Spotify. It's massive. How did it change your confidence in yourselves, and how did it change you creatively?
Yeah. I think it was very validating to me, honestly. I think it was validating that we were on the right path. Because, I mean, it was interesting when we would speak to Benito, Bad Bunny. You know, he said, you know, you guys really touched me with that record. So it wasn't so much about whether or not it was like, you know, like he liked the song or not. It's like he was just touched by the fact that we sort of made a record about coming back home, and like everything, the message was sort of telling people, yes, everybody wants to leave the island, but we want to come back. You know, I think he was touched by that. And I think that sort of made me feel that, like, you know, that our artistry was valid in a way. I mean, it's not that I never thought that I did, but the fact that we could touch somebody at that level that could really amplify that message meant a lot, you know. And I think it was validating. I think it was also my dad sort of was able to see us in that light right before he passed away. So it, to me, it was sort of saying, I think this is our calling. I mean, I think this is what we should be doing, even though it's clearly very hard. And it takes a lot of sacrifice. I mean, to me, it was like, yeah, this is what we should be doing.
My guests today are Busca Bulla on World Cafe. And we're going to hear you perform another song now from the new album. And it's called Te Fuiste, which translates to You Left. What can you tell us about this song before we hear it?
It's a sassy song about sort of when things don't really work out in a relationship. And it's this sort of craziness about like, what was it? Was it like communication? Was it like, you know, you didn't understand me, you know, like when you're sort of thinking about like, were we too young? You know, like there's a lot of sort of questioning around why it happened. And I think I also wanted to lean in to a bit of a sort of the sassiness and the craziness and, you know, and in a way of sort of coping with sort of when a person is sort of deciding to leave. And but there's also a lot of longing, and there's a lot of sort of questioning, like, can we make it better? Is it too late to get back? You know, it's, but mostly I think I wrote it as sort of a catharsis in the record about like, oh my God, like what happened, you know?
Yeah. Would you say that's true for a lot of these songs, that there's a catharsis?
Yeah. I think they're all extremely cathartic. I mean, I'm pretty sure for you too, but.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Here's Te Fuiste, Busca Bulla live for the World Cafe. Yeah. You're listening to World Cafe. I'm Reina Duras. My guests today are Raquel and Luis of Buscabuya. That was a live performance of their song, Te Fuiste. Buscabuya are Luis de Valle and Raquel Berrios, and they're my guests today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you,
Thank you,
Reina.
So much for having us. This is really fun.
I'm Reina Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe. Before the break here on World Cafe, you heard a session with Buscabuya. You can watch that session at worldcafe.org. You can find that full interview and performance, which was gorgeous there. And if you want, you can also go to YouTube. You'll find that performance and interview and many, many others on our YouTube page, youtube.com/worldcafe. Go there, hit subscribe. On World Cafe, here's Tom Tom Club, Genius of Love.
Bohannon. sunshine.
Black Moon Rising. That's Black Pumas taking you to the end of this hour of World Cafe. I want to say thank you again to Busca Buya for being on the show this hour. And thank you to World Cafe producer Miguel Perez for his work on that session. Thanks as well to our affiliates all across the country. They bring this show to you so you can hear it everywhere. And that includes KYUK out of Bethel, Alaska. We produce this show at WXPN at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. My name is Raina Duras. Thanks for listening to World Cafe from NPR.
World Cafe is supported by the Walton Family Foundation, working to create access to opportunity for people and communities by tackling tough social and environmental problems. More information is at waltonfamilyfoundation.org. And by the Doris Duke Foundation, which aims to support the well-being of people and the planet for a more creative, equitable, and sustainable future.
Another hour ahead of the World Cafe. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Check out our playlist, podcasts, and more at KAXE.org.
No need to look elsewhere if you're somebody who likes compound words, because you're hitting the jackpot thanks to this band. They are called Flip Turn. That's all one word. And their new track is Burnout Days.